We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Public art often gets a bad rap, rightly or wrongly. Usually the way it works is that an artist is chosen, a piece is created, it's installed, and the only real public part is whatever reaction you have to it once it's on display. Kasia Ozga works differently.
The Polish-born Ozga is now based between Chicago and Paris, and she takes the public part of public art quite literally. Her newest project is being created as we speak at Carroll University in Waukesha, with a public invited to participate. Ozga joined me in the studio to explain. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you very much for welcoming me and for inviting me on your show.
Tell me a little bit about your art practice. You're here for about 10 days, 2 weeks at Carroll doing an installation that's ongoing. But before we get to that, tell me a little bit about your practice. It looks like it's really wonderful, a mix of both sculpture, installation. You have all kinds of different materials that you work with. Tell me about yourself.
So my actual art practice has evolved out of being a studio-based practice, which was mainly sculpture, into a public art practice where I use a variety of materials in different sites. And so oftentimes the materials will come out of different conceptual ideas or different social or historical ideas that I want to bring up in the places that I'm working with. So there's I really, as an artist, am comfortable working with both traditional materials, we can say wood, stone, and much newer materials like plastics, but also kind of reusing found objects and even incorporating digital technologies. In a recent project outside of Paris, France, I was commissioned to do a piece with a structure that was called La Galerie, and there I presented work that was sewn. So it was a soft sculpture of two large lungs, human lungs, behind a window that kind of were expanded and deflated over every like 10 minutes or 10 seconds. So the work literally breathed. And the way I did that was I collaborated with a fab lab. So somebody who was working with Arduino, which is a kind of technology that allows you to change circuits in machines. And we rewired a leaf blower to make the lungs inflate and deflate over time.
How cool.
Yeah.
How cool. And that idea, of course, of sculpture breathing and of art actually breathing in the world is just very, very interesting to think about. And how did people respond to it?
People liked it. I think it got a good response because it was in a small structure, which used to be a little shop of a cordonnier, so somebody who worked on shoes, who
Like a cobbler?
Like a cobbler, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this was converted into a space for displaying contemporary art about 10 years ago. And so there have been a lot of – there are these big windows in the little shop, and basically they choose different artists every 6 weeks to do a different installation in the site. And the work that I did was one of not very many that were three-dimensional in nature. So they had a lot of kind of street artists or graphic designers who would do posters. But I think people really liked that it was both three-dimensional and that it was moving and kind of, in a way, responding to its environment.
Right, and interactive in a way. What made you change your practice from mostly being studio into public art and this kind of installation work? What drove that?
Well, it was a combination of things. On one hand, I really wanted to work with a variety of different materials and a variety of different viewers. So if you're showing work in galleries, you have one kind of public that tends to come to those places, and it's more limited than the general public that you see on the street. So I didn't feel like I wanted my art to only be directed towards people who were educated in art, and I really wanted to see what kind of dialogues I could get going by sharing my work with other kinds of people. I kind of do both. I mean, I still definitely participate in exhibitions. I just had a show at Mana Contemporary in Chicago in January. So it's
So that practice hasn't ended.
Oh, definitely not.
Okay.
It's just kind of evolved to have more and more often this public dimension with different site-specific projects.
Now, how did you come to the Midwest? You are from Poland originally. How did coming here be part of your life? And then I'm assuming that's affected your practice as well.
Yeah, well, I grew up in the Midwest. I was born in Poland, and my family came to Chicago actually when I was around 5 years old. So I grew up in the Chicagoland area. I've always really been interested in the art scene here. I went to college outside of Chicago, and I only started actually showing art in Chicago a few years ago after many experiences abroad, living abroad, and really a desire to come back to where I grew up and to get more invested in the art scene here. I participated in a really great residency called Acre a couple summers ago. And so this is a nonprofit organization that's run out of Chicago, and they invite about several groups of maybe 30 artists at a time to come and actually be make art in Wisconsin in a town called Steuben every summer. And then every artist who participates in that has a solo or a group show in Chicago during the following year. So it really is a great community building exercise among artists in the larger Chicagoland area, because artists who participate will go to their fellow artist shows, and it really creates a lot of great relationships and links and a lot of ideas.
Oh, and
sharing.
Between Chicago and Wisconsin too,
yeah.
Because there tends to be, I think, a lot of, I don't want to say a negative thing, but, you know, people here kind of look at Chicago as, you know, people in Chicago might look up here and go, and it's so nice to see that this is kind of breaking those barriers.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I had such a positive experience with them that when I saw that there was a call for artists here at Carroll, I immediately jumped at the chance to propose a project.
Well, that's a perfect segue into that. This is a public art project, and it is open to the public to help participate in this, which is not typical. I mean, I think most public art projects are done, you know, and then the public interacts with them. But this is, you're actually encouraging people to come and work with you.
Yeah, I think there's been a movement in the last few years to encourage more dialogue-based practices and more work where that goes beyond kind of the traditional plop art, where something's put in a public space and then, you know, people can like it or they don't. But here the objective has been more to make something through interaction with the community and make something that's really site-specific that relates to the history and the site in Waukesha where I'm working.
So tell me a little bit about that. What are your plans? I mean, you're just here. You're just starting this. Do you have an idea in mind, or are you hoping to get more from the community to make that a little more specific?
Well, basically, there have been several stages to the development of this project. So this first week has really been about brainstorming, about idea development, and kind of putting together what we're going to build together with my community partners. And the next 2 weeks are going to be spent on actually building the structure. So within this project, I'm collaborating with a lot of different local groups. My main collaborators so far have been students from a local arts high school in Kettle Moraine. And I've also met with other community members who I contacted in advance of my coming here. So I did several interviews. And then once I came here, worked in the archives of the local historical museum in Waukesha, and also met with a local historian who led our group to discover some local springs and buildings from the spring era. And then we're also going to be collaborating with a retirement home on Monday, where students are going to be interviewing some residents about their relationships to water. And so all of this kind of ties into a larger theme, which is water within Waukesha's history. So Waukesha, it's not far from Milwaukee, and it was a town that became famous during the Springs era, which was about a 40-year period at the end of the 19th century, where there was a real boom for local natural spring water.
People would come and take the waters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were, at the time, there were about five different railroads running through the town, so a lot of visitors coming in that way for extended stays, especially in the summer months, for the curative powers of these local waters. And so a whole industry got built up around that. There were hotels. There was a lot of kind of very fanciful architecture, including these pavilions, which were really places for people to be and to be seen during that era. And most of these pavilions have since disappeared. There's one that has been restored that's in stone, but most of them were built out of more temporary materials like wood and no longer exist. So part of my project is really referencing some of those architectural details and making a structure that brings back the thought of that time.
Where the public can also be seen, too, I would think, once it's finished.
Yes, yeah. Yes, of course. And so it's been quite an exciting process, because knew that I wanted to work on something that had was related to Waukesha history. So when I began researching it, I was really captivated by this era, but also by the kind of different ideas that this can bring up about water use today, about metaphors for resource use more generally, the whole cycle of boom and bust, tragedy of the commons, lots of environmental ideas that are quite important and that can be addressed through this kind of art.
And as you say, you know, the water is such a big issue right now.
Yeah.
Between, you know, Milwaukee and Waukesha counties. There's a constant tension there, you know, between do they get lake water, do they not? You know, do they pay for it? How does that happen?
Sure.
And, you know, and just in that one way, it's a huge topic.
Yes, and it's a huge topic on a local level, but also on a national level if we look at what's happening in California.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's something that exists in many dimensions. So, for example, with my piece, part of the piece is intended to be a rainwater catchment system where to talk about issues of water reuse and use and how our communities harness this resource.
I love the idea of how in this particular project, you know, you're bringing in environmental concerns, you're bringing in policy concerns, you're talking about very, very real things that affects everyone.
Yes.
You know, it's just that's just very, very cool. So if people want to be part of this, how, you know, what kinds of things would you be asking them to do?
So in the following weeks, we're going to order the materials and basically be building the work. So in the mornings, I'm working with the local high school students. And so if volunteers want to come by, it's mainly in the afternoon from 2 to 5 on the Carroll campus. And so it's there are going to be different tasks involved in building the piece. So light carpentry and different, you know, painting, stenciling, different steps along the way.
And so you do welcome people to come by?
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. That sounds terrific.
And also, if people just want to come by to discuss these issues, I'm really interested in hearing local voices, in hearing people's stories about water use over time. All of that kind of feeds into my creative process.
Well, Kasha, thank you so much for stopping by and talking about this. Looking forward to seeing the piece. How long will it be up? All summer or?
So we'll see how long it stays
okay.
up. It also depends on the environment and, you know, how it's affected by in the winter and whatnot.
Right.
Who knows?
You know, whether the wind takes it or something.
Well, hopefully not. We have engineers helping out, so the wind doesn't take it. But, so that's kind of up to a lot of different factors.
Okay. So it is temporary, but hopefully a longer temporary type of sculpture.
What would be nice would be to be able to see it in the different seasons. So if you can imagine it surrounded by trees in the summer and then as the leaves fall, I think that would kind of have a nice poetic effect as well.
Okay.
So we'll see.
All right. Well, Kasha, again, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you very much.
Artist Kasha Ozga is based in Paris and Chicago. Her work has been exhibited nationally and internationally, and her latest project is happening right now. It's a truly public art installation based on water, and it's being installed with the public's help and input at Carroll University in Waukesha. If you would like to participate in that, you have through June 11th.